On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What up, everybody? JP Finley here with another episode of Redskins Talk, the podcast. I am joined, as always, by Rich Tandler. You can find all of our content at csnmidatlantic.com and on CSN Mid-Atlantic for various television shows. Tandler, man, last week coming off that Cowboys game, seemed like everything was still going pretty well. Now the Skins have dropped two in a row. They've dropped out of the playoffs for now. There's still plenty of football left. How freaked out should Redskins fans be?
Moderately. I think... what the Redskins do have going for them is their upcoming schedule. And, yeah, Arizona was not, you know, they obviously don't have a good record, but they do have a lot of talented players. You know, they have most of the players with whom they went to the NFC Championship game last year. But I do think the Eagles, clearly this is a time that you want to be playing the Eagles. They're kind of looking, looking somewhat in disarray. Effort being questioned, et cetera. The Panthers, of course, they had their little Cam Newton not wearing a tie, and they're down 10-0 by the time he took the field. Little fiasco there. The Bears are the Bears. So I think with those three games coming up, I think the Redskins, if they play even decent football, should be able to turn things right back around and get back into the playoffs. Although now they do need help to have it done, which they didn't before.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, so we are recording this Tuesday morning. You and I were both traveling back from Arizona most of the day, Monday, just because that's long travel and you lose some time in the air and stuff. That said, I think the level of freakout is a little bit too much. I know folks were upset by the loss and maybe kind of by the nature of the loss. Frankly, the Skins just didn't play very well. Their defense played poorly and the offense never really got going. But, you know, if you remember, Rich, you and I during the bye week sat down and plotted out what we think happens the second half of the season. And you had them going 10-5-1. I have them going 9-6-1. But I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I know on my end, I predicted a split of these four games. Now, it doesn't necessarily matter who they beat and who they lost to, but I thought they'd go 2-2 in this stretch. And you got to remember, they went 2-2 without arguably their best player in Trent Williams. And we'll get into all the left guard chicanery people are talking about. But what Trent Williams does for that offensive line is stabilizes the whole thing and makes the whole unit play better. So they split their games with their best player out. I don't think people should be freaked out.
Yeah, there's a difference between an adequate left tackle, which Ty Anseki is, and a Pro Bowl / possible All-Pro left tackle, which Trent Williams is.
Totally agree. Totally agree. All right, well, let's just tackle this topic now. Trent Williams is not going to play left guard. We reported this yesterday. Jay Gruden said it yesterday afternoon. There's not much else to say there. Do you agree?
It was never going to happen. I mean, it's something that, you know, for, I guess, when he played, when Williams went and played in an emergency, played left guard against the Giants, that everybody thought, hey, he can do this, no problem. First of all, he said it was the hardest thing he's ever done in his life. You know, you don't just pick up an all-pro left tackle and plop him in at left guard. You know, it's just not smart. And, you know, Sean LaValle, yes, he struggled here and there. But, you know, if you have Trent in there at left tackle and LaValle is your weak link on the offensive line, I think you can probably get by okay still.
I think Trent makes Sean LaValle look much, much better, you know?
Yes. And, you know, and it was never going to happen. You know, this is not something like they were on the verge of doing it and decided not to, considering doing it, they decided not to. It just was never going to happen. Williams was always going to come back and play left tackle, and that's the beginning, middle, and end of the story.
Now, I'm totally agreeing with you. But I do think there could be some. John Sullivan played pretty well at center.
For half a game, yes, we'll go.
All right, I don't expect this to happen, but if LaValle continues to perform like he did in Arizona, that was he. I'm generally pro LaValle, I guess I would say. I think he's better than what fans like to yell about. But he was bad in Arizona. Now, some of that, you got to credit Arizona. You got to credit Calais Campbell. Those are good players on the other side. But yes. If he performs to that level again or another two games and they get into a situation where week 16, 17, they desperately need wins and they're getting really poor play from left guard, I don't think John Sullivan at center, Spencer Long maybe at left guard, is that unheard of? We've seen Spencer Long play that position. But I think what throws a big wrench in that is the concussion. And I don't know about you, but outside of Josh Norman, every player that's sustained a concussion on the Redskins this year has missed at least one game. I think it's reasonable to expect Spencer Long to miss this week's game. And that's speculative. I don't know that at all. But concussions are scary things, and if you just look at kind of the history of what guys do after they sustain one, I'm curious if there is momentum for a LaValle change. I think the injury kind of removes any momentum that's there.
Well, I'm shaking. I guess on a podcast, shaking your head is not a very effective means of communicating. But you know, look, I just look at this coaching staff, look at the history, and I just don't see it happening at this stage of the season. LaValle getting benched. That's just not how they operate. You know, if he was going to get benched, he'd probably get benched for Eric Quanjo, which would be a bad idea too. But you know, that's just not how they. That's not how they do things. That's not how they roll. I certainly understand the logic of what you're saying. You know, that I think people get confused a lot. You know, whether it's on Twitter or in my articles. You know, when I'm asked, okay, what do I think the team will do? Now, what the team will do, and what I think they will, what they ought to do, are often two entirely different things. So while I 100% see your logic in doing that, do I think it'll happen? No.
Right. And I agree with you. I don't know if you saw, I went back and forth a little with Steinberg yesterday on Twitter. Basically, the article I wrote yesterday, Monday morning, was that Trent Williams is not going to left guard. So don't listen to the talk that's saying Trent Williams will go to left guard. Now, that doesn't mean you can't make an argument that perhaps he should go to left guard. But he's not. It's not going to happen, was my point. And
right.
And I think you're saying the same thing specific to LaValle and Long and whatever else. I would just counter it with, we don't really get to find out because Long's dealing with the injury.
Right.
I don't see Ari Quanjo coming up. That would be a big-time shock. And I think folks that have watched enough of Ari would agree.
Right.
Yeah,
I think that's a position where they're going to have to look for somebody an upgrade. If they do want to upgrade from Laval, I think they'll look either in the draft or in free agency. Do it that way rather than I think Spencer Long is the center for the next at least couple of years.
Right. I agree. I think they like him.
I don't think they're going to mess around with shuffling him.
Right. They like him there, so they don't want to kind of stunt what has been a lot of development this season.
Right.
That said, I also kind of what you hear from coaches and folks around the NFL specific to Campbell on the Cardinals is that he can dominate when he wants to. And I think that's what we saw Sunday. I think that Cardinals defense, I think they had kind of heard a lot about the Redskins offense coming into that game. And they were very, very ready and motivated to, now they didn't shut anybody down, but they were a force, especially up front, getting to Cousins.
Yeah, they're, I don't think the Redskins are going to run into too many more defensive lines this year that are that talented and that motivated.
Right, I agree. All right, so four games left. I figure, I haven't looked at lines yet, actually. They're going to be favored in three of these things, right? Are they favored this weekend going to Philly?
I've seen anywhere the Redskins by one to pick.
Okay. I'm looking now. Looking now, and it's a pick 'em. But on the road.
Do you want me to fill while you're looking?
No, no, no. I'm looking right now. And it's a pick 'em, which, if you consider 3 points for home field, and they'll certainly be favored at home against the Panthers and even on the road against the Bears.
Yes.
I'm sticking with my 9-5-1. I think the problem for the Redskins now is, does 9 wins get you in the playoffs? And we've seen the Falcons kind of collapse before, and obviously the Bucs are surging right now. It'll be interesting what happens down there. I think this Cardinals team, if they can play like they did against the Skins, aren't necessarily out of it, although they're a full game behind the Skins, the Vikings, all these other teams. The Packers look to be surging. It'll be the Vikings team is going to collapse, I think, just because their offense is so terrible. Their defense is great, but
their defense is good. I don't know how great it is.
It's good.
There's a lot that can happen. I think the Reds, I think their best bet is to, is the Giants, really. I don't think that the Giants have the Cowboys coming up Sunday night. I think the Cowboys kind of feel like they owe them one from week one, even though it is in New York. So if the Cowboys beat them, the Redskins win on Sunday, then they're a half game behind
the Giants.
What's the
line in that game?
And then that does, at least as far as finishing ahead of the Giants, that does put the Redskins, put things back in the Redskins' control because they've got that last game of the season at home at FedEx Field to go. So I think that's probably the best bet. The Bucks have the Cowboys and week after they have the Saints and then Cowboys. So, again, things can turn around quickly is what I'm saying without it's tough to do all the scenarios and permutations while you're on a podcast and it's all audio. You don't have the visual. So, but it's, things can turn around pretty quickly, and I think the Redskins win Sunday. I would not be surprised if they were again back in control of the playoff spot.
I agree, and to that point is kind of why I think people need to relax a little bit. Like, we're only three quarters of the way through this thing. There's a lot of football left, and a lot of things are still going to happen. I think the Skins have to shoot for 3-1, and if they can win out, they'd be in great shape, or in good shape, certainly. But kind of the bigger picture, I think, and it makes sense. It's what, December 5th? I don't know what day it is, but what day is it?
I don't know. I say the 6th.
December 6th. I think it's natural for fans to be focused on the close of this season and maybe making the playoffs this season. That said, I think you got to try to look big picture for a minute. And what the Skins have built are building. What McLuhan is building, I think he's got that offense really close to where he wants it to get. And, you know, that assumes that Kirk stays around, which I think he will. They've got, you know, a strong offensive line that's pretty young. And they've got a few pieces defensively, but I think this team is
Wait. Back up to, you know, the receiver position is still very much up in the air with Garcon and Jackson both going in free agency, neither one guaranteed of being back next year, leaving with Jameson Crowder, who is a very capable slot receiver, and a question mark in Josh Doctson, Rashad Ross, Maurice Harris. Yeah, he's got some building to do there. You go on to the defense, but I didn't want to skip over the receiving core.
That's fine, but I'm gonna counter back that I think between Crowder and, I mean, is Doctson still a question mark next August? I mean, at what point?
No, but you don't know what he can do yet. I mean, you know, there's no guarantee that a first round receiver is going to come in and catch and replicate Garcon's production. You know, Deshaun is kind of in a different category all by himself. I think you're just going to have to figure out a way to do without that downfield speed threat, which most teams don't have. But you don't know how he's going to do, especially in what will essentially be his rookie year.
I mean, do you not know because of the injury, or do you not know because he hasn't done it yet?
Yeah, because he hasn't done it yet.
Okay, I guess I'm a little, I don't even think I'm bullish on him. I just think, you've got to assume, like, for team building purposes, they've got to assume they can trust Doctson next year and the injury's taken care of.
So assuming they lose both of the free agents, though, which is possible, I think they're going to try to keep Garcon, but trying and doing, they're not going to franchise him, not going to pay him that much, which I think is in the neighborhood of $14, $15 million.
Sure.
Not going to franchise him to keep him around, so he will have the option to go elsewhere if he wants to. You almost want to keep Crowder in the slot, so you have Doctson outside, and who else outside?
I think you're seeing a lot of Maurice Harris this year. I don't know, but
is he a starting wide receiver?
I mean, I don't know.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think so.
All right, but like that they're going to lose Deshaun and Pierre, or that they may lose one or both, whatever ends up happening. You've also got to assume that they'll fill those positions. So
there are options. Yes, absolutely. I didn't want to bog it down in this, but you know, I'd just say you just kind of skip that over as if they're all set there, and there are still plenty of questions to be answered there.
I'll give you that there are questions, but I think between Crowder, Reed, and what Doctson should be, they should be good to go. And honestly, I would bring back Vernon Davis and run that 11 set with two tight ends. And I mean, I would almost make that a focus, the way Vernon's played this year. But just a quick look at wide receivers that'll be on the market next year. Unrestricted free agents next year. Obviously, Pierre and Deshaun are near the top of that list. But I mean, if they just need a veteran guy that can play, I mean, Michael Floyd, who caught a touchdown against them, Kendall Wright, who's had some decent seasons in Tennessee. I mean, there are guys that can come in. Terrell Pryor will be an unrestricted free agent that should not be break the bank type guys.
He's going to break the bank. At his age, I think he's a little older than a typical first time free agent because he's bounced around a little bit, but you know he's gonna cost some money. He's probably the most attractive wide receiver on the free agent given age.
I still talent, think you got Alshon's out there,
etc. Alshon's always hurt, but other than that, he's great.
Terrell Pryor's played one season of good football.
Guess what? Guess what people get, guys get paid on all the time? Why do you think they call it a contract year?
I mean, you're picking and choosing here pretty good, but that's fine. Did McLuhan draft Anquan Boldin in San Fran?
I don't have it in front of me. He might have.
That wouldn't shock me if Anquan...
Is he 80?
He is 36.
Okay, 80.
You can say 80 all you want. He's got 6 touchdowns this year.
He has been very productive.
He's got 6 touchdowns this year. Deshaun and Pierre combined have 5.
Okay, well, that's cherry picking some stats there, but let's move on.
All right.
There's
another debate I wanted to have with you now that we've gotten our ourselves a little motivated yelling at one another. You're still beating the Matt Jones drum, dude. You did it yesterday on the conference call.
Right. Well, why not? Why should they not figure out a way? You know, hell, if you're going to give, if you don't want to give Robert Kelly 25 carries, give him, if you can give him most of them, but I see no reason to bury Matt Jones. He has, again, for his pass catching ability alone, I see no reason to bury him.
But you recognize that he is buried, right?
Kirk Cousins fumbled the other day. You know, he threw an interception. Should he be benched? Different thing. Very, very different thing, I know. But, you know, just because a guy puts the ball on the ground, you know, do you just completely ignore what else he can do for you?
This
running game, one way or another, it really hasn't been getting it done. And that's not on Kelly. That is primarily due to underuse. But I think you need to, you know, if I'm a coach, I'm looking at Matt Jones and saying, okay, let's see if the however many games, 4, 3, 4, 5 games on the bench that he's had has motivated him, and see if we can use him in combination with Kelly to try to get a real run game going to help out Kirk Cousins so he doesn't have to pass for 450 yards for the team to win a game.
There's so much for me that I have conflict with what you just said, and I'm going to try to go point by point. Matt Jones did not lose the job because of the fumbles. You and I have both talked to Redskins coaches on the offensive staff that have said Kelly earned that job regardless of the Jones fumbles. That was just kind of the cherry on top. I pulled up Jones' stat line while you and I are talking. Now, he had some good games, but look at this. His yards per carry, 3.4, 4.6, 3.8, 5.3, 2.2, 8.4, 2.7. He's wildly inconsistent. Wildly inconsistent. And we've heard the coaches. We've heard Gruden.
Hold on. If this is the entire basis of your tirade and disagreement, I'm not saying give him the ball 15 times a game. I'm saying find spots. That's the job of a football coach, is to take a talented player and find spots where he can contribute. Once again, as we both said, getting him passes out of the backfield. Get him, try to get him out in space somewhere. He can go over a defensive back. Is the running game fine? Are there no problems? Should they not be trying different things to maybe try to get it going? Are the running backs great right now?
I think Robert Kelly has performed well every game he's given the opportunity, and I think they need to be giving him more opportunities. I don't know if you read what I just wrote this morning. He had gotten, in the two wins over Green Bay and Minnesota, he got 22 and 24 carries. He averaged over 4 yards a carry in each game. Against the Packers, he averaged 5.5. Then the Cowboys game, it kind of made sense because they got down big early and they had to throw the ball, that he only got 14 carries. But frankly, I find it inexcusable against the Cardinals that he only got 14 carries. They were never out of the game. The lead was never more than one score. And twice in the second half, they had leads and they still didn't go to Robert Kelly. and he was averaging 4.5 yards a pop. He was running the ball well.
I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying, okay? All I'm saying is I think if you can get Matt Jones in there, you figure out a way to use him. You draft him in the third round. He has size. He has speed. He has hands. Figure out a way to get him in there to help lift the offense. It doesn't have to be at Robert Kelly's expense.
I agree.
What I'm saying is,
and I
they
think
should look for a way to get him involved. That it's a waste to have him sitting at the end of the bench unless you're scoring 40 points a game.
So, where I think we definitely agree, and you mentioned it in there as you were yelling at me, was that Robert Kelly's struggling catching the ball. Now, the one pass, the drop that I remember well against the Cardinals was kind of a low, bad ball from Kirk, and he threw a few of those. But Matt Jones has good hands out of the backfield and has proven to be a weapon doing that. So is Chris Thompson, which I found Thompson's usage a little interesting against the Cardinals. He only had 2 carries, and then he only had 1 catch. But on just 3 touches, he accounted for 45 yards. So
I found his usage interesting ever since the Lions game, when he kind of, you know, they were almost forced to because, you know, they didn't think that because Jones wasn't holding onto the ball and they didn't feel like they had any other options.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, you know, yes, Thompson is, that's another thing. Again, I think they're being very creative in the passing game and spreading the ball around, getting a lot of guys involved. I think they could do the same thing at the running back position.
Yeah. I think, so in their wins, they're averaging 28 rushes per game. And in the losses, that drops down to 19. I think.
Okay, that does confuse cause and effect now. Let's be clear that when you're ahead, you run the ball.
I'm just hold on, just let me finish. I'm not saying Robert Kelly needs 28 carries a game, but I think you get Kelly to 20 and Thompson gets 5. I think that's more where this offense should be anyway. And if I don't see it happening because of whatever is going on, but to your point on the conference call yesterday with Gruden, maybe there is a spot for Mac Brown to get 3 carries, or if it's Matt Jones active on a game day, for him to get 3 carries. I wonder if Matt is coming back this year. I thought his first healthy scratch, I thought it would be a couple of games and then he comes back. And that's still possible, but the vibe doesn't seem like it when you're out there, you know? Like, when you walk through the locker room and you hit the corner of running backs, it doesn't seem like Matt is coming back. Do you agree?
I don't really see that from the locker room. Now, just looking at things and, you know, again, knowing what I know of the way these coaches operate, I think, you know, he could be, you know, barring, you know, some unexpected development that yes, it could happen. You know, I'll just say, you know, Robert Kelly, the most carries he had in a season at Tulane was 89. And I believe do you have the numbers in front of you? Is he over 100 now?
Yeah,
he's well over 100 now.
Yeah, he is.
So, you know, is he going to last? He looked good. I mean, he looked very good against the Cardinals. But he's still, you know, because he didn't play much in the first, 6 weeks or so, he's still very, very fresh, very, you know, very going. Can he really, you know, can he do 20, 25 carries a game down the stretch in December? We'll see.
So he's at 112 on the year right now. And I'm looking at at Tulane. Now, a lot of the Tulane situation was, I think there was, you know, I think he got in some trouble and missed a year. So I don't know that he wasn't getting the carries because he wasn't capable of it, you know?
Right. Yeah, we don't know. You know, usually you get a running back coming out of college, he's had at least 200 carries in the season.
Yeah, Yeah, no, that's a good point.
And that way, okay, you know that he can handle that or he can't handle that or whatever. You just don't know about a guy, you know, a rookie going into his last four games. You know, I remember Roy Helu Jr. And Evan Royster, 2011, both draft picks, were good middle latter part of the season. Got to December and they were, you know, they were pretty well beaten up, spent, not very good. And I think, you know, you just don't know. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Kelly, but I think you have to be prepared for the possibility that it could and have some kind of a plan in place if it does.
All right. Well, if I may, so just because you had me curious here, so I looked up Matt Jones's college stats, and he never got close to 200 carries. He had his junior year, he had 166 carries, which, I mean, if Kelly's at 112 right now, I'd say he's certainly on pace to achieve that. And his first 2 years, Kelly, or Jones rather, at Florida, 52 carries and 79. So, and I tell you what, that doesn't really compare. So just another interesting point that what we've seen from Matt Jones, even before what we saw last year, is that injuries were a problem and he didn't have that track record of being a workhorse back, and they still went with him.
Well, along with Albert Morris, who started every game.
Well, they wanted Jones to take over. He just didn't.
Right.
To me, it was very apparent they wanted Matt Jones to take over. He just proved incapable. Regardless, I think where you and I agree is they need to be running the ball more.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We have any? You know what's ridiculous with you and I is that we have these little molehills that we like arguing with each other about, but we haven't even touched what was clearly the. I don't think the offense played very well in Arizona, but the defense was bad.
Yes. I think we can agree on that. Although, I will point out one touchdown was a result of a 10-yard drive.
Yeah, but, I mean, okay. they couldn't get off the field on third downs.
No.
Now, he's a good friend of both of ours, so if he listens to this, this is not a shot. But you saying that sounded very Chris Russell-esque.
Well, I just pointed out a fact. I'm not saying it excuses it. I'm not saying, but you look at 31 points, and that's, you know, again, that's not good. That's a level they've gotten to twice this. That was the third time, twice before the Cardinals. I'm talking about before this year, but now the Redskins. You know, just stepping back, looking at the big picture. 31 points, two games in a row. The Cowboys didn't get any cheapies against them. And for the most part, the Cardinals, you know, they, again, starting with that opening kickoff, driving down the field, converting two third and longs in the process, you know, getting it in the end zone, you know, that was just a horrible start and did not really get a whole lot better from there.
Totally. Recipe for a loss right here. Two turnovers, giving up 10 third down conversions. Time of possession, the Cardinals had it almost 34 minutes. Skins had it 26. And then, to me, the fourth down conversion on their own 34, I think, was so obvious that Bruce Arians looked at that defensive line and said, "You are not going to stop my guy David Johnson for 1 yard." And he went for it, and he got it.
He got 14.
Right, right.
For good measure.
But you're not going to win in the NFL with two turnovers and only holding the ball 26 minutes, or it's going to take a pretty big fluke of a game.
Well, and especially when your defense, I can't remember what point it was. It wasn't I believe after the Cardinals' first two drives, there was a combination. I believe they fumbled and recovered it during that opening drive. There are a couple of passes that were that the Redskins tipped up in the air that nobody could make a play on. I think it somebody, I thought it was an Arizona guy with an earshot, said, you know, those are two or three turnovers sitting out there for the Redskins to have, and you know, the Cardinals ended up keeping the ball.
Well, so, but I think the flip side of that,
opportunities there. Again, we talk about, okay, they couldn't, you know, the Redskins, as I pointed out initially here, yes, the Redskins, they did get the ball after that that Cousins fumble, the 10-yard line. But you know what? They had 3rd and 6 after that. This team, and actually I tweeted this out, and I haven't really written a whole lot about it. I think it will now since it's still intact. The last time this team kept another team out of the end zone on a goal-to-go situation was September 25th in New York. Wow. Every single other time since then that the other team has had first a goal, they've gotten a touchdown.
That is a good stat. But the one thing I'll point out as far as the – and it's so tough to play this game because it's – the ball bounces in weird ways, right? But
right.
The Cardinals also batted up 2 Cousins passes in the first half that, frankly, they should have caught for interceptions. I think the one hit the guy on the helmet, didn't it?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's arguably two more, at least one more pick they should have. So, just kind of the back and forth of that stuff.
Right.
All right. I think we have talked for a while here. And I think it's important to note, while the Redskins, I don't know if they laid an egg in Arizona. I think the Cardinals were more amped for that game than the Skins were, at least early. I think the Skins looked good early in the third quarter, but then their defense could not get a stop when they needed it. But all of that said, I still like Washington's chances for that 6th playoff spot. I think they will come out and look good in Philadelphia on Sunday. And
I think Gruden laying into his players after the game, I think that's something you don't want to do. You kind of want to, you know, save your spots for that, pick and choose, and not do it that often. I think that kind of got their attention, and I do think that they will play well in Philadelphia again against a team that, you know, they're not a team I'm going to want to play in a couple of years, but I think right now they're reeling a little bit. I think they don't have a whole lot of confidence, and I think the Redskins are getting them at a good time.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think the Skins should come out with a win there, get 2 games over 500 again, or I guess it's a little different with the tie. But, you know, they shouldn't take the Eagles lightly. I don't think they will. I also think, I'm curious what you think, but far too much is being made about Jay Gruden yelling at his players. He's a football coach. They are football players. Yelling happens, man. Like, it's not that big of a deal. It's not a very big surprise.
Right, and you know, and I think just one more real quick point. You know, Gruden also will have fun with the guys, will encourage them. You know, he gives them both sides of it. And you know, if a coach just yells at his players all the time, that's bad. If he just, you know, gets purple nurples and has otherwise has fun with them all the time, that's bad. I think, you know, really the trick of coaching is finding that balance in the middle where, you know, the carrot and the stick, as they say.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And part of me thinks that's why Gruden yelling seems like such a big deal, because he's generally easygoing and kind of happy. You know what I mean? Like, he's generally like a funny, smiling guy. Now, not all the time. We've seen him get pretty upset, rightfully so. But I think fans should not read too much into that.
No.
All right.
Definitely not.
All right. So, you and I will see you tomorrow back at practice?
Yep.
Okay. Plug some stuff.
Yeah, well, the new realredskins.com site's coming around. I think it's looking pretty good. So you got all everything from me on there. Hey, Twitter, as always, we'll chat on Twitter at @Rich_Tandler CSN.
All right, and here's the other thing we need to plug. Whether you are listening on Google Play or Audio Boom or Stitcher or iTunes, whatever it is, we need you to subscribe to the podcast and go ahead and give us ratings and reviews. We're looking at the data, we're looking at the analytics. We know a lot of folks are listening, and we appreciate it, and we really enjoy that. So if you have comments or questions you want to ask us for the podcast, fire away on social. Tandler told you his info. You can reach me at JPFinleyCSN on Twitter and Facebook.com, JPFinleyCSN. And especially when we get into the off season, I think we should take a bunch more questions in the podcast. Right now, there's just so much to talk about, it gets a little tougher. But
right. If
you got questions, let us know. We're happy to put them in there. Tandler, say goodbye.
Okay, bye, folks.
See you later, folks.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.